Well, how exactly is the average person supposed to walk around? Because in my experience, let's say you walk into a supermarket, walk into a 7-Eleven, or any description of food conveyance, whether it be fast food or a supermarket, it's like all the stuff that's supposed to be good for you doesn't have any nutrients, and right. all the stuff that people eat on the majority have extra added poisons. So
that's right.
if you're trying to remove toxicity from the body, it's virtually impossible. And if you're trying to avoid toxins coming into your body, it's doubly impossible, right?
Well, no, I don't agree with you. I don't think either of those things is impossible. I think they're challenging, and the biggest challenge is that people don't know what to do. If you know what to do, it's actually not that hard. I mean, we've been doing it over and over again and have done it now thousands of times with different people. You know, I don't want to spend too much time on this. It's probably not that interesting. But I came into this myself because 27 years ago, I graduated from college and within 6 months got very sick. And all I knew of at the time was conventional medicine. Well, conventional medicine made me worse over the course of 3 years. And it finally occurred to me that if I was going to get well, I was going to have to take matters into my own hands. And so the first thing I thought was, well, you know, maybe what I need to do is figure out what's natural to eat, what should actually go in my body. Because, you know, some of you listening may not have thought of this before, but if it comes in a box or a package or a cellophane bag or what have you, it's not natural. Your body was never designed to consume that. There is a natural diet for every species on the planet, and humans are no different. Anything that's processed or packaged doesn't belong in the body, and if you consume it, it will create issues. It will create problems for you. So the first thing for anybody to do if they're interested in their health is to stop consuming that stuff. And, you know, again, many of the things that most people think are healthy for them, for instance, whole grain breads. You know, for some people still think pasta is a health food. What else? Even cooked vegetables. These things are not really healthy. When you cook anything, you actually eliminate, you destroy most of the nutritional value and create toxic compounds. So when I said earlier, I'm sorry, go ahead, Vinny.
Well, the Japanese figured that out a while ago, which is why they eat a lot of raw fish and raw vegetables. But interestingly enough, Western world doesn't eat many raw foods really at all, with the exception of sometimes the occasional piece of fruit. But interestingly, I heard this from my executive producer, that in Japan, the reason why they have wasabi on the fish is that it kills all the possible bacteria on it and keeps all the nutrients fresh.
Well, that's interesting. I wasn't aware of that. And, you know,
same reason in the Western world that we pour lemon all over our fish and then eat it raw.
Mm-hmm. When that happens, when that rarely happens, but
yeah.
and there's lots of viewpoints on this. The first thing I'd like to point out to people with regard to consuming animal products is that the animals on the planet that consume other animals have very different systems than we do. Everything from the teeth, the way the jaw works, the digestive enzymes secreted in the mouth, the length, shape of the digestive tract itself is completely different than ours. Our systems, of course, are almost exactly the same as our closest primate relatives, the great apes. And the great apes eat almost exclusively fruit and soft, tender, leafy greens. There is, of course, some insect consumption, both accidental and some purposeful. And in the case of chimpanzees, by far the most violent of the primates, they will occasionally, according to Diane Leakey, who, as you know, I'm sure, studied them for more than 30 years, she said that it's not unusual for them to eat flesh no more than once every 6 months or so, a couple times a year. So it played a tiny, tiny role in their diet. The fact is that we are designed to eat fruit and soft, tender, leafy greens just like these other animals. And that's reflected by the way our digestive tract works from one end to the other. Now, the thing is, most people would think, well, yeah, but how can you possibly get everything you need that way? How can you get, you know, where's the protein? And the fact is, the protein is the building block of living cell tissue. So if something is alive or was ever alive, it contains protein. And a healthy, clean, efficient system can take up to 75% of its protein needs from within the body. know, if you think about this, I mean, every day your body is breaking down hundreds of millions of cells and building hundreds of millions of new ones. But it's not, you know, the body's the most intelligent thing on the planet. It's not just going to throw everything away. It's going to reuse whatever it can. And so we're literally recycling the proteins. They get broken down. The amino acids go back into the bloodstream, and the body is able to pull the amino acids that it needs out of the bloodstream as it needs them. And so for 19 years, in fact, last week, as you know, in the U.S., celebrated Thanksgiving last week. And
We'll get into that just after the break. A very special guest from back to the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show without Will on American Freedom Radio and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. And my very special guest is Lauren Lockman. I'm getting that incorrect first time. Does that happen a lot, Lauren?
It does. It does.
Okay, cool, because I'm just as moronic as everybody else.
Yeah. Now,
we have to talk. You were going to go on about fasting. Yeah, you've been having some remarkable success doing this with people.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it comes down to, you were talking about how it's impossible to detoxify completely. And it's certainly not easy, given that the world has become a very toxic place. But every species on the planet, virtually every single one, when sick enough or badly enough injured, will lay down and stop eating. And the reason that happens is because processing food through the digestive tract requires roughly 50% of the organism's energy, and we're no different. So when your body has serious cleansing or healing work to do, you know, it's interesting. We get sick, we lose our appetite, but we're all brainwashed to believe we should be eating anyway to keep up our strength. The fact is, the best thing we could do would be to rest as completely as possible, drink pure water, and eat absolutely nothing. Because when we do that, the body goes through a series of beneficial physiological changes. And as a result of those processes the body's going through, it is able to cleanse and heal itself at a highly accelerated rate. And so, for instance, we've taken more than 2,000 people through this process over the last nearly 15 years, and we've seen 100% success with hypertension. Now, high blood pressure leads to coronary problems, and in fact, I have to admit, when you said cancer was the number one killer in the Western society, I wasn't aware that it had shifted, because it's been gaining on heart disease for years, but heart disease, until recently, was still number one. So it may well be that cancer has surpassed it, but heart disease is still way up there, and hypertension is a huge contributor to that. You can completely eliminate your hypertension and your heart disease. We've seen 100% success with type 2 diabetes, which is another very common problem, and it's something that nobody has to suffer from. Nobody needs to take medication for the rest of their life. What they need to do is get their body clean, get their body more efficient, and then eat the foods that belong in their body and learn how to meet all of their body's physiological needs. And anybody can enjoy an incredibly high level of health if they're willing to do what they need to do.
Mm-hmm. As opposed to what the average consumer does now, which is shovel dump truck loads full of food into their gurgling maws and sit back and do absolutely no exercise, and then worried about why they're getting so ballooned out of control. And then what we've got here now, reporting from the Daily Mail, McDonald's is now going to be introducing statin drug burgers.
Oh, that's a great idea. You know, just eliminate that extra step. Why wait and have to go home and take that statin drug? You're going to need it if you're eating that food, so you might as well. In fact, food's really being kind of generous. If you're eating that crap, you're going to need it, so why not have it included in the substance? But, you know, that's the thing. I mean, many people actually would prefer, it seems, to just keep taking these magic bullets that their doctors offer them. And what they don't understand,
in fact, they're just closer to just taking bullets rather.
Yeah, they might be just as well off. I mean, the thing is, these drugs are all toxic, and you know, it's an amazing thing to me, although I understand that most people just never think about it in these terms. But if you think about this for a second, how could you take something toxic and expect it to make you healthy? It's never going to happen. What drugs and even medicinal herbs do, what they do is they suppress the symptoms of disease so that you feel better. Your symptoms go away and you feel better. What people need to understand is that the symptoms that we experience throughout our lives are evidence that the body is cleansing or healing itself. If we eliminate the symptoms by suppressing them, all we're doing is making it impossible for our virtually infinitely intelligent bodies to do what they need to do. We're not helping anything. We might feel better temporarily, but we're actually becoming more toxic all the time. And so chronic disease is the inevitable result of suppressing acute symptoms.
Indeed. My favorite example of medical drugs suppressing symptoms and then hurting people was during the early 1900s Spanish flu, when I think it was something like 2 or 3% of people chose to go see naturopaths to cure them of the flu, and the rest of the people went to doctors. And most of the people who went to doctors, or at least a very large percent of them, were the fatalities, and 1% of the people that went to naturopaths were fatalities. Reason for this being that medical doctors, in an effort to suppress the symptoms of fever, which burns out viruses from the body, they gave these people paracetamol and these kind of things to relieve their fever.
Exactly.
And as a result, they stopped the body defending itself from the virus and killed them.
That's exactly what happens over and over again. And, you know, in fact, the evidence is clear if you look for it. For instance, there have been 3 or 4 times in human history where doctors went on strike nationwide. It happened in Denmark. It happened in various places. And every single time that happens, the death rate goes down in that country. If doctors aren't working, fewer people die. It's true. You know, in fact, most people don't know this, but 25 or 30 years ago, heart disease was the number one killer, cancer was number two, and stroke was number three. Well, stroke has moved down to number four. Number three now is something called iatrogenic disease. And that's a word that most people have probably never heard of. But iatrogenic disease means the mistakes of doctors and medicine. So doctors and their drugs kill more people than anything besides cancer and heart disease.
Mm. Indeed. In New Zealand, our medical establishment, according to the medical establishment, is the third leading cause of death. And the news, of course, only reports on the amount of car accidents every single time that somebody dies, as if it doesn't kill one third of what the medical society does. You're listening to the Finney Eastwood Show. My very special guest is welcome back. That's right. Welcome back to the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show with our Will on American Freedom Radio and, incidentally, the VinnyEastwoodShow.com. That's Vinny with a Y. This is the most important question, apparently. My very special guest is Lauren Lockman, coming at us live from the Tanglewood Wellness Center. Welcome back.
Thank you, sir.
Now, I wanted to talk about Codex Alimentarius a little bit with you because, it's a very important issue, and they were supposed to implement it in 2009. That's been pushed back. And now what I've noticed is that little elements of Codex Alimentarius legislation through the UN are now making it into separate pieces of legislation that are being passed in places all over the world. SR51, for example, seems to be prime candidate for this, and indeed in New Zealand, similar legislation is being passed as well. What's the whole goal here?
Well, as you stated earlier, I really believe that the goal is to control people and keep people down. You know, you keep people sick, you keep people from thinking, you keep people confused, and the people that on the planet that control everything are able to continue to do that without anybody really challenging them.
And there's those out there who say, oh, there's no such thing as a ruling elite. And to those people I say, okay, does David Rockefeller exist? Does the Rothschild family exist? Yes, they do. How much do these people own? Like 90% of the world's wealth. So who's in control of the world then?
Exactly. I mean, what I talk about is how, you know, the U.S. government was bought and paid for by big industry a long time ago. You know, it may not look that way to most people, but the fact is that what politicians push is based on who's giving them money, who's funding their campaigns, who's making it possible for them to keep in their cushy jobs. And that's, you know, there are exceptions. There are exceptional people out there, but unfortunately not very many of them. And so this is how most of it happens, and probably has for a long time.
Oh, yeah. Totally. I mean, the prime example for that, the thing that really just kind of stuck in my mind was when I had a look at the two candidates of the last U.S. presidential election, John McCain and Barack H. O'Barry. and you have a look at their funders, and they're exact same funders. All right, exactly. Merrill Lynch, exactly. All these big international banksters. And guess who funded them twice as much as the other candidate, you know? That's basically what we have to look forward to. The bankers pick the candidates, and they fund both of them, but one only half as much of the other. It's clear cut. It's just that simple. And you're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My brother, in particular, I found I had an interesting conversation with him about this. He says, Vinnie, you're only one person, you know. What are you going to accomplish, you know? You name me 3,000 people who could actually change the world right now. And I say, well, mate, a waterfall comes from one drop of water, and look what comes from that. So I feel better doing something rather than being happy with doing nothing, as a lot of people are. But this is not the choice that they've made consciously in a lot of cases. A lot of people have no idea the way the world is truly run, and indeed the decisions they make are coerced and conformed into it through the use of a fabulous brainwashing technique called repetition. How many times have you heard the term climate change? How many times have you heard the term global financial collapse? How many times have you heard the term quantitative easing? And it's all total BS, but because it's repeated many, many times, according to Joseph Goebbels, the Nazi propagandist, if you repeat a lie often enough, people will begin.
People accept it.
Mm-hmm. Now, can we blame people for this, though? Because I think that these elements are outside of their control. And you made an interesting point while we were on break, that the repetition can be used on our side as well as the enemy side as well. Because if we keep repeating the medical establishment will kill you, the medical establishment will kill you, the medical establishment will kill you, eventually it'll sink in and people may or may not stop going to doctors and start making some decisions for themselves that actually benefit their health, rather than just going, oh, let's just enjoy a fabulous little vaccine that'll pump mercury into my brain pan.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and in fact, I mean, this is you can't really stress this point enough. And if you're listening to this right now, folks, and you're thinking, well, this just sounds crazy. I don't know. I mean, medicine's all I know about. You know, you got to open your mind. You got to understand there's millions of species on the planet, and not a single one that's as sick as human beings. The only ones that come close are the ones that humans have taken out of their natural environments and that we take care of and feed. So it's our pets and farm animals and circus animals and laboratory animals. Those animals die of cancer and heart disease and develop arthritis and diabetes just like humans do. But animals in nature almost never do. And there's a reason for that.
It's because they don't go to see a vet.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We can create incredible levels of health. In fact, if I can offer your listeners a free gift, Vinny, anybody listening that would like to learn more about this, feel free to send an email to info@tanglewoodwellnesscenter.com. And that's the American spelling, E-R rather than R-E, if you're in the UK or New Zealand or Australia. info@tanglewoodwellnesscenter.com. And just a note that with your name and a request for a free report entitled Fasting, Nature's Fountain of Youth, and we'll send that off to you, and it will explain to you exactly what you need to do to create an incredibly high level of health. And what comes with that is thinking more clear. In fact, the benefits are really myriad, because most people, you know, think, well, okay, there are some things that you can't fix, though, right? I've got bad eyesight. That's not going to change. That changes all the time. There's an old saying, a nautical saying, that a rising tide lifts all boats. And the fact is that when you improve the overall health of the organism, you improve every aspect of the organism's health. And so there's no reason, you know, literally that you can't function at a higher level than you've ever functioned at in your entire life.
Unless, of course, you believe the brainwashing of the government, in which case this is falling on deaf ears.
Well, exactly. If that's the case, then you probably are screwed. And, yeah, good luck.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just go back, drink some aspartame and some fluoride, get some flu shots every year, enjoy your Alzheimer's.
Exactly.
Actually, you won't be aware if you're enjoying your Alzheimer's or not because you forget. But,
but you know, I'd like to come back to what you were talking about a few minutes ago. Because you were talking about how people are just not aware of what's going on, but that it's not their fault. And I completely agree with you. You know, it's easy to blame people. And I mean, I think, again, everybody has responsibility, right? There's no victims. We're making choices all the time. And if you're listening, sitting here listening and thinking, well, this is interesting, while you're having your Big Mac and large fries and chocolate shake, and you're thinking, well, this is interesting, and you continue doing the same behavior, then don't expect anything to change. And that's called complacency. If this sounds interesting to you, then you owe it to yourself to check it out. In fact, you owe it to your children and your grandchildren, because what we're doing right now isn't sustainable. I mean, you know, forget about the New World Order for just a second. Let's just talk about the fact that the way – the lifestyle choices that people are making, especially in the United States, is just not sustainable. And there's no reason for us to keep doing that. The easiest one, by the way, is to give up eating animal products, because there is no single industry that causes more pollution, more environmental destruction, uses more electricity, destroys more natural habitat and resources than growing animals for food. And so if you care about the environment, there's an easy thing you can do is change your diet to something that's healthier, both for you and for the entire planet. Great law of the Iroquois Confederacy said, in every action we take, we should consider the impact on the next seven generations. Now, I would suggest that most people don't consider the impact on the next 7 minutes, let alone the next seven generations. If we did that, if we did do that, we'd be living in a completely different world today. And although some people say, well, it's too late, you know, there are certain things that we can't reverse now, I don't know if that's true or not. As you said earlier,
that's a self-defeatist attitude.
Well, it is. Exactly. You know, I mean, listen, maybe that's true. I don't know. But you know what? I'm still going to do everything I can do, because, I mean, what if it's not true?
What's the alternative? What's the alternative to doing something? Oh, I'm going to do nothing and let the bulldozers, rush off on top of me.
if we don't do whatever we can do, then we're definitely screwed, right? And we're causing that to ourselves. So that's completely unacceptable as far as I'm concerned. And what I would say is every interaction that we have, in fact, even when we're not speaking to somebody, right, our presence is having an impact on every other organism, not just humans, that we encounter. And so the best thing that we can do is to begin taking complete responsibility for ourselves, for our own lives, for who we're being, and for the footprint that we're leaving on this planet. As I said before, we can live on this planet much more gently than we are now. You know, we can begin to consume far less resources than we do now. We can get those tomato plants in the ground now before the government makes it illegal to do so. And you know, start becoming self-sufficient. Start eating high-quality food, which is available to everybody if they're willing to put out the effort to create it. There are things that you can do almost regardless of where you live. And the truth is, it's much easier in the tropics than it is up in Minnesota, or God forbid if you're up in northern Canada or someplace. You know, that's a hard place because you can't grow much most of the year. But there are things you can do even there. Take responsibility. Start looking for ways that you can make improvements for yourself, for your own health, for the health of the planet. And then as you begin to shift yourself, as your own energy shifts, what happens is you become light and you begin to have a positive impact on people. You uplift people. And so people around you, you'll be amazed at how many people will start wanting what you've got, will start asking you how they can accomplish what you've accomplished. In fact, to be honest with you, that's what happened to me. I started out in the financial industry. I've got a degree in finance, and most of my master's degree in finance, I gave up on it because I realized it wasn't what I wanted to do anymore. But after I got my own health taken care of, people would just come up to me and say, "Man, you look amazing. What do you do?" And I started coaching people. And this was almost 20 years ago. And I did it for 5 or 6 years before realizing that if I was going to keep doing it, I needed to start charging people, because I was spending more time helping people get healthy than I was running the business that was supposed to be paying my bills and wasn't doing such a good job at that anymore, as I was neglecting it. It's just about sharing what you have, and the best way is to become an example.
So, speaking of an example, there's an example right there about modern business. I was having a discussion yesterday with somebody, I forget who it was, that if you want to do business in this day and age, often the best way to successfully conduct your business is to be dishonest and to sell a product that is crap.
Well.
But however, if you are honest and you sell a product that's good, mate, you won't be in business long.
Well, unfortunately, lots of people seem to believe that. But it's definitely not the case. It's, you don't have to be dishonest. There are, in fact, I would say the truth is eventually that will catch up with you. And if what you're offering is a high quality product or service, and you are honest and you're really looking out for people's best interests, then ultimately you will succeed. You know, there are certain things you have. I mean, you can't be stupid about it, but you have to do certain things to succeed in any business. To be honest, we were so busy for so long that I got a little complacent and stopped marketing, stopped traveling and speaking. I used to spend a lot of time traveling and speaking, giving lectures and seminars all over the world. I used to write for 3 magazines. I was active on internet forums. But after about 6 or 7 years of operating at close to 100% occupancy, I thought, okay, I don't have to do any of this anymore. I can just run the business. And then the world economy started to crash a couple of years ago, and it has affected us a little bit. So, you know, again, that wasn't too wise on my part. And now we're starting to see that reverse. In fact, it's reversing in a big way. We're about to be completely full when we reopen in 2 weeks for our next session. So, if you're honest and you offer a good service, what happens is you'll have lots of supporters. And we see a huge about 75% of our guests coming in are either coming back for a second, third, fourth, fifth. I think so far we have someone who's been with us 7 times, or they're referred by someone who's been there before, and that helps a lot too. And that's possible for anybody that's offering a high quality product or service.
And as a former salesman, I can really attest to that, because when I was operating at my peak efficiency sales performance, 1 out of every 2 cold calls I would turn into a sale.
Wow.
And it was because I was incredibly honest with people. I told them the truth about how badly their phone company was treating them, and how much cheaper it is to actually get on with somebody else. And it does work. Honesty sells. But however, when you're operating at very high levels, like guys like you or I, who are very, very honest and really want to do right by people, we won't wind up as CEO of the World Bank or IMF, will we?
No, we won't. But that's okay with me, because I have no interest in that position anyway. But you're right. I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, that's in order to succeed in corporate business, you probably do have to be dishonest. You probably do have to. I mean, that world, I don't think, does reward honesty. That's not what it's about. It's, you know, it's about the bottom line, and you say what you have to do, and you say what you have to say, and you do what you have to do to succeed that way. But that has
office
yeah, that's
politics
a limited
and
payoff.
Backstabbing and all of that kind of little childish stuff going on. And, you know, when I ask for feedback to the show and people being negative, those are the people that I'm actually fishing for. But unfortunately, I get comments like this. I just have to say that you are the best program on the air. How you can tell the truth and make us laugh and smile all the while we're hearing it is beyond me. Don't ever stop. We love you in Texas. Thanks, Vinny, from Turley in Lubbock, Texas. And I was like, oh, that's for goodness sake.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's great.